We were made in His image, being formed by a perfect hand. At the dawn of creation, in His likeness He made man. When I'm down and weary is the time that I forget how He came to make me like the best. There are people around me who don't know who they are. They were made in the image
just like Him,
of the highest power. No one's told them good news that's been made so clear. I must tell it now so everyone can hear. We were made in His image, being formed by a perfect hand. At the dawn of creation, in His likeness He made man. When I'm down and weary is the time that I forget how He came to make me like the best. There are brothers around me who don't show who they are. They were made in the image
just like Him,
of Jehovah
God.
They don't stop and think of what that really means. Being fashioned after Jesus, the King of Kings.
Made in His image, made in the image of the best. Made in His image, made in His image, made in the image of the best.
We were made image, being formed by a perfect hand. At the dawn of creation, in His likeness He made man.
When I'm down and weary is the time that I forget
how He came to make me like the best.
And I welcome you to the Word of Life. If you're a new listener with us this morning, I appreciate you tuning in. We're going to be studying out of John chapter 11 in just a few moments here, if you want to be opening your Bible there. If you're a regular listener, I want to thank you. And we picked up several new listeners again over the last few weeks. I thank you for giving the time and consideration to the Word of God. I want to say good morning to Marvin and Rima and several others that are struggling to keep health and faith. And my prayers are with you. We always think about you. We have the blessing of being able to approach God. It is certainly a good thing for us in a world that's full of struggle and despair. And don't give up, though. Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world, is a statement of John in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4. And it's still true today. So don't give up. We have many who listen who are not able to get out. Our prayers are with you, as we have said. We have many needs for prayer, and I hope and encourage you to spend time in prayer each week. I hope you're reading your Bible every day. I hope you're taking time to do that. You cannot expect to gain faith if you don't go to the source of faith, and faith that comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, as Paul the Apostle said in Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. John chapter 11 is where we're going to spend a little bit of time this morning. We're going to try to wind up our understanding of the miraculous aspect of Jesus' ministry. This will remove some of the need we have as we go through the various incidents that happened during the life of Jesus, remove some of that need for stopping to explain why Jesus would do this or why he would do that. We're going to be looking at the effects all the way through his ministry of the miraculous. We assume the miraculous being the proper outcome of the presence of Jesus Christ. That's where we left off on our program last Lord's Day. As we look at these various incidents, we come across one very great truth, and that is that Jesus consistently was able to perform the things that his Father wanted him to do. And that doesn't sound like a big thing until you consider some of the things that Jesus did. We'll be talking about the calming of storms, the feeding of mass crowds, and various things like this. We'll be talking about the healing of lepers, the giving of sight to blind, all kinds of things that Jesus was able to accomplish. The caveat to all of this is that at the very end of the Gospel of John, John points out, and we'll probably notice this later on, that there are many things that Jesus did which are not recorded for us to read. The world wouldn't contain the books, John says, if we were to record all of these things. So let's understand that at the very best, we're getting the tip of the iceberg. And out of that tip of the iceberg, you and I struggle to get our minds around some of the things that we see. There is a God who is very much bigger than what we are able to comprehend. John chapter 11, we're going to begin noticing a interesting aspect of the miraculous today, and that is that though a person would see the miraculous, it would not necessarily cause belief. Belief is still a choice. In John chapter 11, we've noticed previously the response of the Jewish crowd that was gathered to the resurrection of Lazarus. Now, we had noticed this most recently in our look just a few weeks ago at a statement made when we were talking about the compassion aspect of miracles in John chapter 11, verse 35, where Jesus wept. And we asked the question, why did he weep? It's obvious that it wasn't just crocodile tears, that is, fake and false tears. Jesus was touched by the occasion. The compassion of Jesus was aroused. He was, like us, brokenhearted over the pain that others had experienced. Well, the interesting thing about the resurrection of Lazarus is, number one, that the resurrection occurred. I mean, Jesus just said, Lazarus, come forth, and there the spirit was reunited with the body, and Lazarus came forth. The people were told to unwrap him and give him something to eat. Interesting thing that we see here and that is apropos to our lesson today is in verse 45 and verse 46. Look at the statement there that John the Apostle writes. Therefore, that is based upon the resurrection of Lazarus. Therefore, many of the Jews who came to Mary and saw what he had done believed in Jesus. But some of them went to the Pharisees and told them the things which Jesus had done. Now, the word but there in the beginning of verse 46 gives you the idea that this is a contrast. That is, that some believed and some not so much. So what we understand is that the same sign was witnessed by all of these people, but the reaction of the people was different. A person can make a choice to believe or not to believe no matter what they see. Have you ever saw something yourself that you just had trouble believing it when you saw it? You know, that's enough to prove the point. Belief is a matter of choice. Now, what part do signs play in this? Well, they are given as evidence. They are given as a witness to the truth of that one that is proclaiming. That would be Jesus in this instance. But they are not the thing that locks down belief. There has to be something else. The simple statement of verse 45 and 46 is that many of the Jews who saw what happened believed in Jesus, but some didn't, in verse 46. So they go to the Pharisees and they tell them what had happened. And that's where Caiaphas and the rest of the council speak together and in effect say that it's better that one man die than that we lose the country, plotting the death of Jesus. Now let's go into the next chapter, John chapter 12, and notice a very powerful statement that John makes about all the miracles of Jesus being considered. In John chapter 12, we are at the last of Jesus' life. John 13 records the night before the crucifixion. John chapter 12 is the day and the time right around that Holy Week to the Jews. There just before Jesus would celebrate the last Passover with his disciples. Well, in this case, there are several approaching Jesus. This is where quite some time back, if you remember, we studied from verse 20 and following how the Greeks approached the disciples and said, "Sirs, we would see Jesus." And this brought about Jesus making the statement all the way down in verse 32 of John 12 that I, if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to myself. Now, John goes on to comment that he was saying this about the way that he would die, that is, the crucifixion. By the time we get through several more verses, Jesus has spoken about being the light and encouraging them to believe, if you look in the first part of verse 36, in the light, so that you may become sons of light. Now, John goes on saying in verse 36 and all the way through verse 43 these words. Now, listen to this. And these things Jesus spoke, and he went away and hid himself from them. But though he had performed so many signs before them, yet they were not believing in him. This was to fulfill the word of Isaiah the prophet, which he spoke, "Lord, who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed?" For this reason they could not believe, for Isaiah said again, "He has blinded their eyes, he hardened their heart, so that they would not see with their eyes and perceive with their heart and be converted, and I heal them." These things Isaiah said because he saw his glory, and he spoke of him. Nevertheless, many even of the rulers believed in him, but because of the Pharisees they were not confessing, for fear that they would be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the approval of men rather than the approval of God. Now, in just a few moments, we'll talk about that statement. Right now, a song.
I'm so weak and sinful. for. Oh, who else would be my case? I would give a million worlds like this to be with you in that place.
Our point would be that miracles do not force belief to happen. The passage that we read just before the song in John chapter 12 speaks about how Jesus had performed these signs and that people were not believing in him even with the signs. That leads us to an understanding that there is a choice to be made. The signs can be ignored. God has never spoken in such a way that a person could not make the choice whether or not to believe. There is no compulsion on God's part practiced that would cause you to believe against your will. Now, there are times when we are convicted of our sin, and it feels like that push is so strong to believe. But my friend, that comes from the truth working on you. That doesn't come from God grabbing your heart and forcing your belief. In fact, the prophets had spoken of this very part of the ministry of Jesus, that is, the fact that he would be rejected in that way. The passage in verse 38 that's referred to is Isaiah chapter 53, verse 1. Who has believed our report? To whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Now, the statement Isaiah makes runs along this line. Has God really shown himself? And if he has, who's going to believe? That is the truth about these signs. Though they encourage belief, though they allow for the possibility of belief, they do not force belief. In fact, the same signs that cause belief in one harden another. And that's what John goes on to point out in verse 39 and 40. And another quote from Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 6, John points out that the very same action of God has blinded their eyes, hardened their heart. It's not that God came down and chose that they couldn't believe. It's that they refused what God has done. Now, this has happened ever since the creation. Adam and Eve refused the command of God. Cain refused the command of God. All of those people around Noah refused the command of God. And how far do we need to go? God was evident. God was right there. God was in their face. And they ignored and denied him. The same was true of Jesus. The signs that caused some to praise God, as we saw in John chapter 11, for instance, caused others to go report Jesus. Now look at the statement that's made in verse 42 and 43. John begins to open the door on what goes on in the heart. And we're not going to leave it at this, but we are going to deal with what's said here. Many of the rulers believed in Jesus, verse 42 says, but they wouldn't confess him. They wouldn't admit their belief. Why? Well, look at what verse 42 says. It was because of the Pharisees, for fear that they would be put out of the synagogue. And what's behind that? Well, verse 43 tells us, they loved the approval of men rather than the approval of God. Now, when it becomes more important to you how you are accepted or looked at among people rather than God, you got a problem. Because people will be your judge. People will determine your action. People will determine your belief. Everything about you will be decided by those around you. So let's tie this back in to the study, all of this thought back to the study that we have previously been doing. And to do that, I want you to turn back to the Gospel of Matthew to chapter 11. In Matthew chapter 11, there is a passage that you and I spent quite some time on just weeks ago. In Matthew 11, verses 1 through 6, we run into this statement. You'll remember it. When Jesus had finished giving instruction to his 12 disciples, he departed from there to teach and to preach in their cities. Now when John, that is John the Baptist, while in prison, heard of the works of Christ, he sent word by his disciples and said to Jesus, "Are you the expected one, or shall we look for someone else?" Jesus answered and said to them, "Go and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he who does not stumble or take offense at me." You remember when we talked about that and looking in the life of John the Baptist, wondering why John would ask that question? Well, the signs are said by Jesus to be the evidence of who he is in this passage. You see, all of this fits back together in a very marvelous way, that as John saw the Spirit descending upon Jesus and knew Jesus from that, from the miraculous statement of God from heaven. And then John sent his disciples to see the evidence. We see the fulfilling of the statement of Hebrews chapter 2. After it was at first spoken through the Lord, confirmed to us by those who heard, evidenced by signs, miracles, and wonders, and gifts of the Holy Spirit, which he gave. It's a beautiful bringing together of the elements of truth in the gospel of Jesus Christ. In a few moments, we'll wrap up the program. Now, another song.
A wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Lord. A wonderful Savior to me. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock, where rivers of pleasure I see. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock, the shadows of dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of his love, and covers me there with his hand. And covers me there with his hand. A wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Lord. He taketh my burden away. He holdeth me up and I shall not be moved. He giveth me strength as my day. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock that shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of his love, and covers me there with his hand, and covers me there.
brightness transported I rise to meet him in clouds of the sky. His perfect salvation, his wonderful love, I'll shout with the millions on high. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock that shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of his love and covers me there with his hand. And covers me there with his hand.
Now, I want you to remember that connection we just mentioned in Matthew 11, but I want you to turn back to John chapter 5 to wind up the program today. I want to look at a statement that Jesus made about the very signs that he had done and what he perceives as the struggle that people have. In John chapter 5 and verse 36, Jesus himself makes this statement. He says, "The testimony which I have is greater than the testimony of John," that is John the Baptist, "for the works which the Father has given me to accomplish, the very works that I do testify about me, that the Father has sent me." Now, if you remember, that's exactly what Nicodemus said to Jesus. "We know that no one can do the signs you're doing unless they come from God." No one. Now, what Jesus says here in John 5:36 is that very thing. "The works that I do, they testify about me." But there was a struggle in people, and Jesus perceived that struggle. If you look three verses down to John 5:39 and then verse 40, you'll see the statement that Jesus makes that sums up our thoughts about this. In John 5:39 and 40, Jesus says, "You search the Scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. It is these that testify about me, and you are unwilling to come to me so that you may have life." You see, the problem that people has is not couched in the words that there is not enough evidence. It's not that God has failed to decree, failed to state, failed to show or manifest the truth that he has. That's not where the issue is. No, the issue is in the heart of people. We saw a while ago in John chapter 11 that those that witnessed the resurrection of Lazarus broke into two groups very quickly. Those that saw and believed, and those that saw and did not believe. Now, they both saw the resurrection of Lazarus. There was no doubt in either side that Lazarus had been resurrected. For when the Jews that didn't believe report to the council what had happened, those of the council say, you know, no one can deny that Jesus is doing this. We're going to lose everybody. They're real. They understood that. But the point of the matter here is that the reason they would do that is finally uncovered. It is the choice that a person makes that determines their belief. God has provided ample evidence to a person willing to look, both of his existence in the nature around us and the various things that we see and the study of everything all the way down to the cellular level. He has provided evidence of his love, of his compassion for us, in the action of Jesus to come here and to give as he gave at Calvary. All of this speaks of God. But you see, the problem is not that God hasn't spoken loud enough. The problem is that other things get in the way, whether it's like in John 12, where the approval of people is more important than the approval of God, or whether it's here in John chapter 5, where it is simply the unwillingness of a person to come to Jesus that stops them from coming. It's not that Jesus hadn't provided the evidence or spoken clearly. It's that we have chosen not to respond. What will you do with Jesus? That's a question that's going to echo through time, and when time ends, it will echo through eternity. What have you done with Jesus? And what will you do with him? You join us next week on the Word of Life, and we'll continue our study in the glimpses of Christ.